Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roleplay Balance of Power. This is week 13. I'm all thrown off now because it's week 13 and it's episode 7 of The Light Side because we're doing two Light Side in a row. And I'm excited because I don't think I could have waited another week to kill all of you.
Shut up!
Not gonna happen.
That's the only reason. That's why we're doing it, so that I can murder you. And no, that's not true. So normally this would be the space in which we would be doing a Dark Side episode, but Jesse is away at CoxCon, and some of us don't have our own conventions. We have to hang out here and play role-playing games instead.
Darn it.
Yeah, gosh darn it. I guess it just means we're going to have to fight a giant stormtrooper. So, aside from living in abject terror for the fate of your character, how's everybody been? We doing good?
Yeah. I realize this is going to make the VODs hard to watch, because I always watch the Dark Side by looking for the odd numbers. So now after this point, it'll be even numbers. So we should just do like 3 Light Side in a row, maybe?
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, that's how I kept track of it too, and now I'm all thrown off. That's okay. It's fine. We can do basic. Okay, I can't do basic math, but someone can for me. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I haven't watched a single episode of The Dark Side because I don't want to like look ahead and see what's coming. I want to be like fully surprised by whatever happens.
That's what I was doing, but then The Dark Side was watching us, so I was like, okay, well, that's out the window.
It's an arms race. That's how it works. You have to have someone. It's fine. Kaylin is just our intelligence officer for the Light Side.
She's that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Always in character.
Cool. Well, please don't stab me with a sword at TwitchCon. Thank you. I wanted to ask, Zeke, you were at San Diego Comic-Con, right?
Yes, I was.
How was that? It's one of those cons that I've always wanted to go to, but every time it comes up, I'm like, that looks horrifying. I don't know if I can handle it.
It kind of is. It really is. It's pretty bad. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what I told everybody I went last year and I went this year. And last year I actually had an extra day where I wasn't working. So I had the full day to do.
Oh, that's cool.
Go to the con. And I went in there and I swear to God, I lasted 3 hours and I couldn't do it anymore. Like outside. Yeah. On is completely different from inside. Like outside, there's tons of people, but you're all outside and you're all traveling around doing stuff, because the con is not just a convention center, it's like spots all over the place. But I went inside the actual convention center with a badge and the whole thing, and I wandered around for 3 hours and I went, this is not for me. I'm frankly, I'm too old for this. I can't like mill around like stinky nerd lava.
That's a good analogy.
Nerd lava. That's my favorite new saying. I love that.
Let no one say that Ezekiel is not a poet.
That's very good.
I will tell you, like, if you go and you don't care to like go inside stuff, like it's worth going just to hang around outside the convention center. You don't even have to have a badge. It's cool to just hang around and go to the like different places that are outside, because they have stuff set up all over the place, just right around the convention center. Like our little booth, like the Twitch booth, was like 4 blocks, 5 blocks away from the actual front doors of the epicenter. So it wasn't very close at all, but like there was still hundreds and hundreds of people just milling about outside. It was great. And everybody, like, seriously, so many pokey stops and trainers and shit. Everybody was on their phone, just like walking around doing the whole thing. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of nerd collision.
Yeah.
But, so did you meet anybody famous? I think I saw something on Twitter about that.
Sort of. Like I met Robert Kirkman, who is the creator of Walking Dead. He created the comic book and the hand in the series that comic book is based on. And so like that. I got to meet him and the artist for The Walking Dead, and the artist for a lot of different Skybound stuff, because that's who we were affiliated with. Oh, and cool. We're brought down by as the Skybound Group, which is Kirkman's like publishing wing arm or whatever.
Appendage.
Yeah, they're publishing appendage. And I'm sorry if I keep looking down, but I just want to show you guys. I bought the Star Wars. I bought the actual physical dice, and I'm playing with them. I'm sorry. I put my toys away. And...
That's so awesome. We're trying to play a role-playing game here, Zeke. Stop playing with dice.
But yeah, so, I mean, I would go once and see if you like it. I definitely would recommend going at least once, for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel that. It's definitely one of those things where I'll probably go eventually, but the bigger it gets, the more I'm like, one or two enormous conventions. Like PAX West feels like that to me now, where it's just like sardine time. Sneaky nerd lava.
Yeah.
I really want to go to the conventions of that size is if I have like scheduled like panels and stuff that I'm going to or like that I'm going to be on, you know, so that you actually like have a goal rather than just kind of milling around and not really having anything planned. That stresses me out more than anything.
Yeah, totally. Because you just get sucked into the like crowd that moves around. You don't really see anything. Yeah. And you're getting jostled by nerds. Yeah, also,
it's interesting. It's really good. Like, really cool to actually work the event, because then you do your days of work, and then after that, it's like, which kind of, you know, party or function were you invited to afterwards? It's like, okay, we're going here. Okay, can you get me in here? It's a lot of can you get me in stuff. Like, I'm not kidding. Like,
turns out nerds like structure. Go figure.
Can you get me in there?
I like that about E3. Like, anytime you would run into someone at another booth at E3, they'd be like, hey, what party are you going to tonight? And you'd be like, well, these are the ones I have. Which ones are you going to? And you like trade your contacts. It's like really funny.
And then you don't end up going to any of them.
Right.
Stay in your hotel room with your laptop playing video games.
Yep. Pretty much. I'll
tell you what, man, the hypest, and or maybe not the hypest, but the best conversations and the best fun I have at any of the conventions is at the hotel bar.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. The best part about the hotel bar is that's where the people get the most drunk, in my opinion, because they all know that they can just stumble up to their room. So it's like everyone down there is like, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but let's get like another round. Oh, I love it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
My room there, it's right over there. The elevator's right there.
Also, the people that are already done partying but have come back to the hotel and they get intercepted on the way to their room. I'll just have a couple more drinks. Already way too drunk. Awesome.
Yeah, there is a great degree of that, of like, because once you get all that adrenaline going at a con and you're like, yeah, I'm doing stuff and I'm seeing things, you get to a point where you're like, okay, I guess I could go back to my hotel room and lie down, but if I do that, I may never wake up again, so just keep going. And that's why after a con everyone is sick and exhausted, because we all push.
Well, there's also that feeling at a convention, like, I may never get a chance to hang out with this person again, so I better take advantage of it now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is the season for it. You know, like, I know a lot of people who are like, it's cool. Once it's like October, we can go back to being normal again. But for now, not so much.
I'm getting more than 4 hours of sleep a night, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, eating food is actually good for you.
I have like so much going on in August and September that now I'm like, trying to think of ways to bolster my immune system. Like, I'm pre-planning, because I'm just like, I have to make it through the next 2 months and then I can get sick. But I don't want to get sick before or during any of that. So it's like, right now, like, you start taking meds and like vitamins. Yeah.
What you got to do is get the flu now.
No.
Get over it.
He's not a real doctor.
I'm not a doctor. Don't listen to me. Terrible advice.
It was people. Anyways, my boyfriend legit does not get sick at cons while I get sick. And the way to do it is to actually have hand sanitizer on you and always wash your hands before you eat anything. And like, don't stick your fingers in your mouth, of course, but it actually works. Like, you might look weird. You know, people might make fun of you for always using hand sanitizer before you eat, but that's actually how it happens. So,
Well, the thing, I rarely ever get sick after cons, and it's, I give one piece of advice. A hug is better than a handshake.
Oh, nice.
Because a hug does not transfer nearly as many germs as a handshake.
The only problem with that is then you have to let people hug you, and that's a whole other thing.
Dude, hug away, baby. Give me that sweet, sweet chest-to-chest loving.
It's all about the fist bump. You just, when they're going in with the hand, you just kind of go in with the fist. Ah, it's the antibacterial fist bump. Boom. The ABFB.
And you punch them in the face before they
can. Yeah, you punch them in the face before they can hug you.
Just punch them.
What if you just brought a towel that you hand shock people with? You know, that would be weird. Just like grab your handshaking towel.
Or a small plastic fake hand. And that way you can bring that out and be like, oh, I'd be like that awkward SNL skit with the, just like,
don't touch me, but you can hug, you can shake this fake hand.
Clap them together.
Woo! Good. That's good.
We shook hands. Good. Yay!
Give him that old Zaphod Beeblebrock's like, ah, popped right out of the box. Didn't see that one coming, eh? Extra third arm.
It's good. These are all good survival tips and also helping you not have contact with other human beings, which I'm all about. So nice work. Thanks, everybody.
You don't seem like that to me, man.
That's only because you're inside the bubble, Zeke. You're allowed.
Okay. I forced my way in that fucking bubble.
Yeah. There's a variably permeable sphere around me. You just happen to be allowed inside of it.
Can I pop your bubble, Adam?
No, Christ, no. Stay away from my bubble, Caitlin. You and your vibro sword. So, speaking of vibro swords, I wanted to get into it because I would feel so bad if the intro was longer than the amount of time you survive. So let's get into the game before that happens. It'd be really embarrassing for all.
We're just stalling, right? We're just fucking
stalling. Yeah, stop stalling.
Someone set the clock.
It's time to do this thing. So as we do, we will begin with the traditional rolling of the destiny points. Let me just clear the pool here. Now normally it's a good indicator of the tone of the beginning of the episode when we figure out our pool, but since we're jumping right into the middle of an action sequence, this is going to be especially important. So, you know, don't fuck this one up, guys. Go ahead and sync your pool and get rolling. Let's see what, see where we start.
Oh God, I can't watch.
Can we use the Destiny points?
Nice work, Jess. All right.
This is the secret.
Oh, my God.
What's happening? Cover your eyes.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Fall in line.
This is how superstitions are born.
Oh, my God.
Come on, kill.
Your Destiny. Come on, kill.
All right. Come on, join the dark side, Co. Give it to me. Give me those points. Yes.
Okay.
It's fine. I only was one. I just need the one.
Wow.
That's all we need.
It's fine. I don't need any more than that. All right. So we had left off, I think, right before the end of the turn, right? I have the turn order as the last PC to go before we start the new round. And Kes, you have managed to find a parked, like a delivery speeder, like a land speeder. It's essentially like a van. It's got a big cargo compartment on the back. There's a two-person front area with a dashboard, and it's got some little gold dice hanging from the rearview mirror. You don't know what's in the cargo area. I mean, I guess you could check. There's probably some like minor graffiti on the side that's been sort of scrubbed partially away. And it's just sitting unoccupied on the street corner. Probably the guy that's driving into somewhere nearby. Maybe we see him, you know, smoking a death stick across the street. kind of watching the chaos unfold as these terrorists are being apprehended by a giant stormtrooper. Zed, you are closest to the action. It's you and this guy toe to toe, and he's sort of slowly backing away, firing his weapon. So you've been kind of following him, like poking at him with your fusion cutter.
Yeah.
Gunner, you are you conscious? Like how are you for wound?
So well. The light side won, and. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh,
I say something kind of surly at someone, and then grimace angrily. Yeah, that's what I do.
I'm a
it's
robot.
Cool. It's cool, Adam. I got this. And the smoldering pile of the previous large stormtrooper glistened as we walked away, victorious, and we all got 1,000 experience.
Co, I'm pretty sure you're the only one who's still playing their own character here. So let's just let Mr. Coble take over. All right. Well, anyway, so after this brief dark side disruption, the scene is more or less set. I was just confirming with you before, Co, where your character was. You were kind of at the like entrance to an alley, right? Like you had come kind of up to the side, and you've been watching from across the courtyard. And the whole battle scene is. Let's see if we can move ourselves around here.
I think I start
and
first.
Yeah. Zeke Adam, Adam Zeke.
Here we go.
Yeah, we're doing it.
All right, whose turn is it now? Caitlin, you seem to know what's going on.
Zeke.
Let me try. Let's see.
Nope, Zeke. Oh, yeah, you. Yeah,
now
yeah.
It's me. Okay. Now it's Zeke. Okay.
Nico.
All right, we all are who we were when we started.
Hooray!
He's back. All right, back in business. So what's who's going, I guess, is the thing. Like, there's one more person to go before we start the round. I think it was Talra. So, Commander, I guess the camera zooms in on you, seeing all this kind of chaos in motion. What are you going to do?
Realizing his extensive knowledge of commanding is probably more important to continue. I turn and run and leave the three others behind and continue with another Star Wars adventure.
But, right, yes, yeah. The Bothan, goodbye.
It's been a pleasure, friends.
You step on a bear trap, you're dead.
Oh, well, shit.
Sorry.
So I've taken a shot at this guy once. I think I could take another shot at him, and I think I'm just going to do that. Kestra's off doing her thing. Gunner and Zed are engaging it, so yeah, I'll take another shot at him, see what we can do.
All right. You are at medium range, but you are firing at an engaged target. TI and Zed are fighting it out. So the difficulty is going to be two purple with one upgrade on the difficulty side.
Okay.
And
do I have any advantage or anything?
No, I don't think so. Let me look back at the log. Actually, yeah, you do. Zed's last action didn't succeed, but I don't remember. Did you spend that, Zeke? Did you spend that advantage on strain? I don't think you did.
No, I did not.
Okay, so yeah, take an advantage today.
That's one blue.
Yes, yeah.
One okay.
More blue.
To the one point. Blue, two purple, one bad upgrade, and here we go. Kaboom.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is the first time this has happened. You got a despair and you hit. You hit Zeke.
Ah, what?
How could you?
Traitor.
Wait. All five of those successes are on Zeke now?
So the point is, the way it works, I'll read the exact rule. This has happened so many times and it's never succeeded. So let's take a look.
If you kill him, I'm turning on you.
We can rebuild him. It's fine. Or I'll get you a shiny new one.
The same.
I'll get you a shiny. Like, I'm sorry, your droid died. I went to the droid store and picked you up a new one. His name's.
He's not even called.
Stephanie.
Zen 3K4. That's yeah. Perfect.
Zekka.
Oh. All right. So let's see. Action.
There's no way to use a destiny point to be like, well, he wasn't holding a gun. You know.
It deflected off his metal body into.
Yeah, totally. I'll let you describe how your character embarrasses yourself here, but you definitely hit Zed.
Okay, so clearly it was not Tower's fault. What happened was, you see, if you were there and if you saw it all, I had my cell phone out. I was recording it. I can show you the video. Basically, what happened is, so my Tower aims and he gets all ready and he's looking at the arm of this guy and he's like, okay, maybe I can hit him in the shoulder. And then right when he does that, the guy pulls his arm back to kind of fiddle with something on his backpack, and he opens up the shot. It goes right where it would have been if his shoulder was there. But, of course, Zed's fat face was just sitting there like, hit me, please! And then my bullet just kind of went right where I thought it would have been, and...
Let's not body shame the droid who literally can't help the shape he's made in. It's not his fault that he was manufactured with such a fat face. So
that's my manufacturer made me, sir.
Exactly. It's okay. Love your body, robot man.
Does this look accidental or does it look like he has a bad shot?
To be fair, Talra is actually like a pretty crack shot. It just looks like bad luck.
Okay, so it doesn't look suspicious.
No. Okay.
I did directly after go.
Rub your hands together, pull your mustache.
Yeah, that was, completely incidental and nothing related.
Well, I'm going to start collecting all the clues.
Mm-hmm. Do I take all the extra successes and
so
stuff?
So when attacking a target engaged with an ally, the attacker upgrades the difficulty by one, which we did. In addition, If the attacker's check succeeds but generates at least one despair, that despair is automatically spent to make the attacker hit one of the individuals engaged with the target of the GM's choice instead of the target. So, starting us off, thank you so much for joining the dark side, Tara. Zed, you take 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You take 10 damage.
Okay, so minus
Tara, you take 1 strain, and Zed, you take 10 damage minus your soak.
Oh my god!
Sorry, I love you.
So I do take all the other successes and all that. Okay.
Yeah, and actually, what's funny is
How are you feeling, Zed?
Yeah, how are you doing on your wound threshold there?
Zed, no.
I'm let's see, I had to take 6, so I'm okay. At 8.
All right, cool. All right. So yeah, so Zed, someone somewhere, I don't know if you see Talra do this by accident or whatever, but yeah, you get hit in the side with a blaster bolt and like stagger back. And maybe, I don't know, maybe at first you think it's like, uh-oh, stormtrooper reinforcements or something. But yeah, there's definitely fire coming from another place. Cool. All right. Tara, you can still make a maneuver if you want. You can move. Does or
cower and shame a maneuver?
No, that's free. You can be in, you can feel shame anytime. That's
okay. So it's like a slow motion, like, oh, my bad. I just call out. Yeah, my fault. I'll buy you a beer later. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and if I moved into short range, the only thing that would do is reduce my challenge die to 1 if I were to fire next turn.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, closer you are, the easier it is to hit.
Let me go ahead and do that. So I will take a few steps towards the target out of the alleyway, towards the guy while he's engaged. I believe I've cast confusion on the droid as he's wondering why I'm firing at my own friend. So maybe he'll ignore me. And going on that, I'll go ahead and move a little bit closer.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you cast confusion on Zed, but also now you have shame, which is a damage over time.
To my pride.
That's right. Yeah. You take strain every round.
Is Tara, until you make up
what you've done.
Is Tara 2 lengths away from me or 1? Because we're in the same band.
You're in the same band as regards to TI, but you are at medium distance from each other.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe
you can move around within the same band for free, so it's you can stay the same distance from your target, but yeah, you're a medium distance from each other.
Okay, but if you used another maneuver with strain, you wouldn't get closer to me. That's not necessary, right?
No, it's not necessary.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's all I want to know.
Yep.
Okay, I just lock eyes on him, and you know, I'm trembling, I'm low on the ground, I'm breathing very heavily.
Okay.
And then can I clarify something about the turn order? So did I go... I went first, and then the NPC hit me, and then we had 3 more PC turns.
Yeah, so now it's the top of a new round, and anyone can go.
I haven't gone in a while, I feel like.
Yeah, well, because you went top of the last round. Yeah.
Did I? Okay.
Yeah. It's almost as if you haven't had a turn in like a week.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So anybody can go. If you want to instigate Operation Landspeeder Assault, you're welcome.
I would love to do that. Is that cool with you? Or did you want to go?
I kind of want to inject myself with some stim packs.
Okay.
So whichever one.
It is important who goes next, because TI, if he notices what you're doing, like if he sees you running away, there's a chance he might think, oh, you're going to try to ram me with that vehicle. But right now, you've just beelined away, so he can't tell. But he does get to go next. So.
Okay. Well, because I mean, stim packs you can do at any, like you can do that on a turn that's later, right? Like,
yeah, but if he attacks me again, then I'm dead, and he attacks next.
Oh, his roll is next.
So that's why, yeah, it could be better overall for you to go. I might die.
I hate to say it.
Don't go now, though.
Kind of, we got to prioritize life, I guess, at this point. Because I mean,
I would say that like I'm on the ground breathing, so, and I'm looking at Talra. So if Cass has it in her head that, you know, she's really gunning for getting to this truck, then I think that makes the most sense. You know, if that's what's on her mind and she's just going for it, then, you know, I think that's what's lined up to happen.
Are there, and Adam, are there any taunt-like mechanics in this? Like, because with Zed being in melee range, is there anything we could do, like, to put him first that would force the stormtrooper to attack him?
Not necessarily. Like, I'm making decisions for TI-85 based on what I think that he would do according to things like the most dangerous target, the most obvious threat, that kind of thing. And right now, the droid with the fusion cutter up in his face is a bigger threat than some random blaster bolt that came from over his shoulder and hit said droid, or Gunner, who is down, right? When we start his turn, I'm going to just pick the most obvious target and go after them.
Okay, cool.
There isn't really anything, like, there are probably talents that can, like, taunt, but unless you already have them.
No general mechanics, yeah, right on. That's what
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wanted to take a turn to, like, draw his attention, I'd allow, like, a roll for that, like a deception roll. So if somebody wanted him to attack someone else, that's certainly an option. You have the chance to go now. So whoever wants to go can take an action, whether that's an aggressive action now or trying to draw his attention so that the next three actions can be taken in a little bit more open space.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like combat knowledge that I'm not completely, like, I don't think he's going to attack me this turn. It's only if Adam wants to kill me that it'll happen. But he just said maybe he won't, so he
won't. Yeah, like if Gunner, the thing is, if Gunner goes and uses a stim pack and becomes a valid target again, there's a chance he'll just try to knock Zeke out of the way and blast Gunner again. But you don't know. It's uncertainty. So who's going to go?
Operation Land Speeder is a go.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. So you come running up to this this speeder. I'm going to say the dude is lazy and left the window open. Nice. So you don't have to, like, break in necessarily. I think you can get in and rev the engine and charge towards him. The trick here. So walk me through your plan, Kes. What are you thinking of doing here?
My plan is to hit the TI as hard as I can while not running over my Zed friend.
Yes. So that's going to be quite difficult. So the vehicle. What's going to happen mechanically is you're going to get in the truck thing, and once the land speeder is up and running, now you won't, running over people with a land speeder doesn't really do anything because you're floating on a maglev. Right. It's just the collision, right?
Yeah.
But the front of the land speeder is broad enough that you're going to catch Zed and TI at the same time if Zed doesn't get out of the way. You're going to make a pilot check. The pilot check will be how accurate the hit is. It's going to be opposed by his athletics. So he's going to either try to throw himself out of the way or maybe turn and, like, stop the speeder from hitting you. But that'll be the roll that you make when you collide. The vehicle at a glance, maybe if you really gun it, it can get to him in one turn. That'll depend on, a pilot roll as well.
Okay. But so how do I hit the stormtrooper without hitting Zed is kind of the problem, I guess.
Because I want to try and make, like, a counter athletics roll because my character is built to be athletic. So maybe there's some way that I could grab him.
Or I mean, yeah, you could try to hold him in place, but then you're also going to get hit by the land speeder.
Yeah.
No, if I could grab Zed and drag Zed out of
the way. So that's the other thing. Okay. If Gunner goes right now, Gunner could theoretically grab Zed and yank him out of the way. Then T.I. will get to go, and then the three of you will go.
Well, but then he could move toward you guys, couldn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, so I think
remember, if you watch his tactics, he's trying to shoot you, not chase you around. So you moving away just gives him an opportunity to blast you as you move away.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that probably maybe would be better than would be to separate Zed from the stormtrooper so that I don't hit both of them. Because right now there's, like, no way.
If you want to, you could try to pull a sharp right at the last second and clip him with the front part of the speeder and not hit Zed. I'd allow it, but it'll be a more difficult roll.
It'll be more difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the easiest thing to do is just plow both of them into the ground. the more careful you are, the more difficult the roll is going to be.
Yeah.
Right. What I'm thinking is, like, as soon as you get, like, going and run, you just tell me to hit the deck because he, like, I don't think he can hit the deck as fast as I can.
Perhaps, yeah.
I'll just sneak under the thing, you know?
Can I, in one turn, like, tell Zed to hit the floor and then...
Yeah, but Zed won't be able to react until there's a turn for him to react in.
Yeah.
So I think if you're trying to protect Zed, the best thing to do here is try to like just try to only hit one of them.
Okay, and just take the harder roll.
Yeah.
Okay, because we can use I can use a destiny point to counteract the since we've got five, I can try and counteract the disadvantage of.
Yeah, you can buy yourself an upgrade for sure.
I'm gonna, you know, we're going. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm living on a prayer.
Okay.
And we're gonna try and floor it and not hit Zed and
all right.
Clip the stormtrooper enough to do damage.
Kestrel uses five light side points.
You can't use five light side points at once.
Zed, but we can use two, right?
No, I can use one and you can use one.
Oh, I thought we used. What did we use two of? Destiny points?
No, we tried to do it last time and we took one back.
Yeah, we can choose one. Okay, so it's going to be a roll opposed by his athletics. He's going to, I guess we'll describe it. So you jump into the speeder, hit the accelerator, and start barreling towards TI. And we snap to TI and Zed sort of like struggling. And the huge stormtrooper turns and sees the vehicle barreling towards him. And he turns and plants his feet, like he plants his feet wide, kind of like disengages from Zed and like puts his hands out to try to like just stop the vehicle as soon as it hits him.
I was really
yeah.
And so he's gonna resist with his brawn. He's gonna let you hit him and hopefully you'll just go through the windshield. He braces for the impact. Good. Okay, so you like pull the seatbelt, buckle it up. We see the delivery guy. We see the delivery guy across the street be like, "Hey, that's my," and you just like fly.
There's no way we can shoot at him while this is happening to try
no,
to.
No, it's all happening during Kes's turn. Right? Yeah. Unless Kes wants to like slowly advance and give everybody a chance to react. It's either he gets to react and you do, or nobody does. So he doesn't have to roll. It's just creating the difficulty for your roll. You're going to make a piloting land vehicles, I guess is what it's called.
Okay.
You're gonna make that roll. His athletics is, it adds four purple to the roll. It's his brawn. One of those gets an upgrade because you're trying to like veer off to the side to hit him.
Okay.
Because any attack against him is upgraded. And he's got one defense from his armor. So add one black to that.
Okay. So I've got one black, four purple and one upgrade on the dark side.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to use the light side point.
Okay.
That's cool with everyone.
Yep. So put an upgrade on your side.
Yep.
And
can we get some assist die for shouting at the guy? Like
nobody took an action.
Coming? What are you doing?
Right. Nobody's taken an action this turn that would help. Yeah. So let's talk about the results here. So if you collide a collision, the game doesn't. Surprisingly, people don't get hit with land speeders very often in Star Wars. So it doesn't have a lot of rules for that stuff.
It's a great idea.
Basically, we're making it a pilot check versus athletics. I'm going to give you a free upgrade because of the scale difference. So nice. Throw another upgrade on your side. Yes. If you hit him, if you get any successes, the base damage is 16 on the hit. It's the speed of the vehicle multiplied by the silhouette of the target. If you get advantage, you can spend two of them to cause critical hits, just like you would with a weapon. So the crit rating is 2. But if you get 3 threat, the vehicle takes a hit as well, which I'm going to make you roll to resist. So there'll be, it's basically like you crash into him and the speeder is going to take a hit too. And if you get a despair, God help you. But if you get a triumph also, cool. Okay. So you, and you hit in, also it's, we're reducing his soak, right? Cause, he's got armor, which will protect him, but, I'm going to reduce his soak by 4.
So I'm doing, planetary piloting, correct? Yeah. The other one's
space. Yeah. Pilot planetary.
Okay. All right. I feel real nervous. Okay.
Don't feel bad. Hey, it's all right. Hey, no, you know what? I'm a dime a dozen.
I'm not gonna watch.
Here we go. Hey, all right.
What does that mean then?
So
he critted, but she failed with a bad advantage.
So a triumph. a triumph counts as a success in every way that a success does, but is also countered by the two fails that you got.
Okay.
So I think what happens, like you collide with him. You take a strain from the ride. The truck collides with the trooper. He puts his hands down on it, and it stops, right? The land speeder just like jars to a stop. Maybe the back end lifts up and then slams down, and the cargo container breaks open, and a bunch of boxes spill out into the street. You're now staring across the dashboard at TI-85 with the hood with these two huge like handprints in it, where he's just slammed his hands down on it. And so if you had gotten one less failure on this, you know, as you have two, if you got one less, then the triumph would have counted as a success. But the success part is taken away.
You're saying two fails, but I see one fail, one threat, and a triumph. Where are you seeing
two? That's what's left. If you look at the first purple die, it's two failures.
Oh,
so each failure negates the success. It's just that the auto resulter doesn't pull the triumph out.
Okay.
Yeah. So he looks up at you across the dashboard, he says,
"Grand Theft Auto,"
and pulls his hands up out of the like engine block, basically. Oh, and now I got to decide what he's gonna do.
What kind of an offense is Grand Theft Auto, Adam? Like, what might happen to you if you?
It's punishable by some kind of very severe punishment.
Okay, good to know.
So, all right, let's see. So someone just tried to hit him with a land speeder. There's this droid trying to cut him open. I think he's going to shoot at Kes. So he's going to take the disengage maneuver. So he's still at short range, but he disengages from Zed, and he's going to make an attack. So let me just make sure I don't have to strain him to do that.
So she didn't get any benefit from the crit. That could have just been a success, basically, or did it nullify?
Had there been a success, or even like not two failures, like if we hadn't pulled up any of those fails, then it would have been a success and a crit. It would have caused a critical wound and done the whole thing.
Ah, okay.
But unfortunately,
way, 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 way worse.
It also could have been way worse.
Like I expected, way. I didn't worse. Hit That's Zed. Pretty good.
You yes. didn't hit Zed. You didn't immediately cause the vehicle to explode. You know, none of those horrible things happening. So
could have been worse.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Okay. Let me see.
Stark disadvantage when it could have been worse is really good for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm being especially careful about like rule stuff because I don't want to accidentally kill everybody. I want to do it on purpose. Here we go. Okay, so engage or disengage. Yeah, it is a maneuver. Okay, so he's going to disengage. He pulls his hands free, reactivates his weapon, so it like comes back up, and walks back, firing at Kes. Now, Kes, you have cover from the vehicle and the windscreen protecting you. It's cracked, but it's going to give you some cover.
His weapon's still damaged from the thunder.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there's sparks shooting out of the energy cabling. He's got another penalty die. So there's going to be a pile of penalty dice. So let's see. Here we go. All right. So he's going to shoot Kes. So it's damaged weapon, plasma assault cannon, and away we go. So you are at short range. And you've got cover. I'm going to give you two black dice of cover. So there's only like four black dice. I think that's probably enough. Okay. All right.
Seriously?
Well, damn.
So, I rolled well. let's see. Yeah, so one success negated. I've got two, three successes. Yeah, so the crit holds.
Okay.
All right, Kes. So you hit him with the vehicle. He staggers back, pulls up his weapon, and just fires blindly at you. He doesn't get to activate auto fire, so he doesn't hit anybody else or hit you more than once. You take 11 damage minus your soak. And
11 damage minus my soak.
Okay. Oh, sorry, it's got breach, so no, your soak doesn't count. So you just take 11 damage.
Are you shitting me, Adam?
I'm sorry. Not really.
I'm upset. All right. That's fine. I had none at the beginning, so
you're fine.
So you're okay. Still moving, right?
I don't feel good, but you know, I've been worse.
Okay. Yeah.
Also stood back, so we're
good. And then roll a crit. Should be on your sheet.
Okay, yeah. Character info? Yeah. At the brink, suffer one strain each time you perform an action. Oh, okay.
Okay. So here's what we see, right? He spins up the tubes and it starts firing bolts into the hood of the vehicle. And he basically starts at the front at the bumper of the speeder and works his way up. And you get tagged by one of the shots. The window screen explodes, bits of glass everywhere. Just walks the shot up. You actually take a hit and are staggered. So just remember to take a strain whenever you do anything that doesn't maneuver.
Okay.
Cool. So he moved and he shot and he's done. So now Talra, Zed, and Gunnar, you can all go.
I'm going to go. I'm kind of behind Zed. Yeah. So I look at Zed and I start drawing a stim pack from my side and I jam it inside myself. And I say to Zed, Zed, you have to save Kes. And I'm still staggered this turn. So I use a second maneuver to then grab another stim pack, and again, I use the next one. So I can heal for 9, but I'm still there trembling on the ground. And while I'm healing myself, I just kind of start seeing lightning all around me. I don't know if it's real, but when I close my eyes, I see it everywhere.
Nothing like a little near-death hallucination to get you going in the morning. So for your turn, you want to use stim packs, Gunnar? Is that who's going next?
Oh, what?
I mean, whoever's going next can go. But he doesn't get to do anything until everybody's gone. So, Gunnar, are you next?
That was... Oh, Gunnar, yeah. I thought Gunnar already went.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to... On your turn, Gunnar, you're using your Stimpaks. I'm just confirming what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah, I'm using 2 Stimpaks.
Okay, cool. Let me see, because I think you might be able to do more stuff than just that. I got to check what using an item is for...
I think it's a maneuver.
Yeah, that's what I'm checking. Because if you can still act, then you're going to want to.
Because I'm staggered, I don't know if I can.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't. You can only maneuver during your turn because you're staggered. But the staggered goes away at the end of your turn, right?
Yeah. So I do. I have a talent that's durable, which is reduce critical injury suffered by 20 per rank of durable.
Oh, nice.
And I've got 2. So what does that do to my crit?
You can heal the crit you just took. Heal the crit you just took and you can add another crit, but instead of rolling, you can see where it says you just add a crit, a specific number, add a 75 instead of a 95. Does that make sense?
Okay. So can I click heal right now?
You can just get rid of that crit.
Okay. And then add a crit.
Yeah, and for adding it, and you should be able to just type in the number. Yeah, critical number.
Oh, but it's 20 per rank and I've got 2.
Okay, cool. So yeah, 45 or 55 rather.
55, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So instead, you have a fearsome wound. Okay.
So cool. Increase difficulty by 1 difficulty. Okay, cool.
Nice. Okay, great. Good thing you are durable. So that'll make it much harder for a single crit to take you out for sure.
Sweet.
Cool. Okay, so where were we? Gunnar, using a stim pack. Your types of actions in combat, you can... Let's see. Yeah, recovery and healing. Here we go. Stimpaks. Heal a fixed number of wounds. No roll necessary. It requires 1 maneuver to inject a stimpak. So if you want to use both, you can take the strain and go like and do 2 of them. Okay, cool. And then your maneuver thing goes away, so you can go back to taking actions in the next turn. Okay. All right. So who goes after Gunnar recovers wounds?
I'll go. I would love to shoot Telra.
Good. Excellent. That's a fantastic, fantastic.
About a fair play kind of a thing. Okay.
No, automatic self-defense systems engaged.
Yes, exactly. Suddenly, Telra shows up in your HUD as a big red skull.
Traitor identified. Traitor identified.
So, real quick, Zed, in all seriousness, are you going to move in when you attack? Because if you are, TI disengaged last round, which means he's by himself. So I should probably shoot first, and then you can move in and do stuff.
Nope, I'm blasting him.
Oh, you're just going to shoot him?
Yeah, my I have a much better chance of damaging him at all with a blaster at light range or at short range than I do even with my fusion cutter, because I have to hit him first. Now, if I hit him, all kinds of cool things happen. However, hitting him is tough. I'm skilled more with a blaster than I am with brawling or with my my fusion cutter, because that's melee. I just have that as a backup melee weapon. I'm better at shooting from like a short distance.
Can
your character tell if they could inflict damage on like a tank with that weapon? Because he has a lot of armor.
That was actually what I was about to ask. Adam, can we go over the soak a little bit again? This guy's 8 soak, right?
10.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Do we have to roll crits to do damage at this point?
Basically, you either have to have a weapon that does breach or the other one that pierces through soak. Might be piercing. Or deal enough damage that you'll deal over the 8, right?
So like I did with Zed, basically.
Yeah. Getting crits, right? Getting crits will affect him, not in a wound sense, but will inflict critical wounds on him.
Even when you do pierce, you have to do it. At least that much damage.
Yeah.
Like you have to do at least 8 damage for your pierce to kick in.
Yeah. Also, before we move on, Kes, I'm shortchanging you on the triumph. It's still all that action is still a failure, but you can still spend the triumph to do something that's not like hurting him. So you can use it to upgrade the difficulty of his next check. You can do it to upgrade an allied character's check, or just do like some other vital thing, such as shooting controls through a blast door or something like that. It's all on the handout for combat reference. You can do anything that has a little triumph sword on it. It's the failure canceled the success part of it, so the maneuver, the attack was still a failure, but you still get to buy something with your triumph.
Okay, so I'm also sorry. I'm reading my like talent tree, and I think I wrote it down here on the roll 20 thing incorrectly. That it's supposed to be 10 per rank and not 20 per rank.
We'll just leave it. You can keep your wound as is, but we'll remember it for next time.
Yeah, I fixed it. So let's see, what would be the most advantageous then? Who's going next?
If you want to get crits and stuff, giving the next person to attack him that triumph, giving them advantage will mean more opportunity for those crits.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is, like, you can, if you want to, you can keep downgrading his attack and stuff, but he's really good at shooting at you. Right. So going on the offensive is going to be just about the only way to really get rid of him.
Is there a way to, like, destroy his weapon?
If you look at the crits, there's an option to cause some damage to a piece of his gear. Let me take a look here.
Do you have a page number?
It's in roll 20. Under handouts, just if you scroll down below your character sheet where you click your character, there's a section for handouts, and you should have access to combat reference under the player's handouts. You can disable one piece of gear rather than dealing wounds. Oh, that's if you deal damage, so you can't do that.
Okay.
You have to be able to hit him. He would have had to have caused damage. This is just peripheral stuff. So basically an upgrade or a downgrade is the best use of it.
All right, so I'll just upgrade whoever is attacking next, I suppose.
Okay, perfect. Ooh.
Zed, can you show your gun to my character? Like, can you like hold it up or something? Maybe in character, I ask you, have you been in this situation before? I'm like yelling at you.
You come here often, Zed?
hold up my gun?
Yeah. So I'm going to say to you, My vibro story can barely cut into him. We need something heavy. No, we need to get some major crits on him.
His armor is near impenetrable. I'm calculating the odds between blasting and cutting, and they're negligible.
Okay.
Meaning, like, I have a better chance to actually hit him with a blaster and do crits, or I have, like, the same amount of chance to hit him with a blaster and do crits as I do engage with him. I won't, I mean, like, it's really difficult for me to hit with my fusion cutter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not difficult to hit with my blaster. However, my blaster won't do as much damage as my fusion cutter. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, yeah, that's perfect then.
Yeah.
Okay, so Talra or Zed, who's going to go? First,
yeah. Talra, you just go. Just blast him, because you're doing the same thing no matter what.
Sure, okay. Well, let's do it. Then I'm going to go ahead and just blast him.
All right, you're at short range. It's one purple die with one upgrade and one black die just from him being him.
And yeah, do you have an aim or anything like super blast?
Yeah, if you want to aim, if you want to aim first as a maneuver, you can.
Let me do that.
Okay. All right. So you add a blue die to your pool. Also, Cass is giving you an upgrade on your side. So for you, it's one blue and one upgrade on your side, one purple and one upgrade on the dark side.
No black.
Oh yeah, and one black for his armor.
One purple, one black, one upgrade.
Yes. Yeah, you got it.
All right. Here we go. Boom.
Kablow! All right. Yeah, you hit him. And you hit him for five, so you hit him for eight. So unfortunately, accurate though the shot may be, a blaster pistol is not the best weapon for cracking open this particular tin can. So you take a shot, and I think the blaster bolt, it doesn't even deflect, it just hits the armor. There's a brief spot on his armor that glows from the heat, and then nothing. Now you do have two advantages, so you can use those. You can pass an advantage die to the next person to go, so you can pass one to Zed. You can pass two to Zed, actually, if you want to.
Let's do that.
Okay, because he's the next person to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
All okay, right. So Ti just shrugs off the shot, just hits him.
Okay. Well, since I have two advantage, I'm gonna use my maneuver to get up and engage him. Still got my torch out. Use those two advantage and a light. If no one objects, a light side point to do an upgrade and cut him. And hopefully cut him bad.
Get in on that fusion cutter. All right. Yep. Difficulty is two purple with one upgrade and one black on the dark side. And for you, because of Talra kind of semi-distracting him, you get two boost dice and an upgrade from your light side point on your side.
Got it. Okay.
And then just go ahead and click your fusion cutter.
Yep. Here we go.
Oh. All right. So... the fusion cutter, I think you're straining it long beyond, like it's meant to be used in short bursts, but it's been running at full power the whole time. So it's like sending out sparks and like bits of plasma are dripping off, and you can see the like barrel of it, because it's attached under your arm, right? You can see the barrel of it starting to like superheat. It's starting to get red, and you're getting little system alerts from your own internal diagnostics being like,
right,
deactivate fusion cutter, overheating. Yeah. Cool. All right. So yeah, just take the strain for that. And it is the beginning of the next turn. So anyone can go. Zed can go again. Gunner, Talra, whoever. What would you like to do, team?
Literally, I have no idea. let's see, where am I? I'm at short range still from... How am I at short range if I hit him with the...
Like he backed up and then Zed followed him. So he's moving, not you.
I see. Okay. God, I don't even know. The land speeder plan totally failed. And that thing
was kind of our fallback.
Like, yeah. You said that his fists went into the engine block. So that thing is.
It went right through the hood. He's real strong.
Well, but like the speeder itself is.
Oh no, it's still functional. Yeah, you could use it again, but you're so close to him that you wouldn't be able to pick up speed.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to, there is a bunch of like miscellaneous crates that have fallen out of the back. So if you can think of like a piece of gear you might need, you could spend a destiny point to be like, oh, this truck was transporting
anti-stormtrooper grenades.
Explosive. Awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Does my land speeder have a winch and a grappling hook, perchance?
Yeah, I mean, if you want it to, that makes sense. It's a delivery speeder.
Okay. I want it to have a winch and a grappling hook, and I want to throw my hook at Mr. TIA 85 and see if I can literally drag him through the streets away from everything that's going on.
So you want to run over to the winch and throw the hook on him, like throw it around him so it hooks on. And then this stage two of the plan is to get into the speeder and drive it backwards at high speed and just drag him away from the fight.
Well, I mean, I guess I could, I don't know where the winch, I guess if the winch is on the back, you would just,
I feel like, well, I feel like the winch would be, normally these things are on the front, right? Okay. Yeah. It's like on the front. So it's kind of like underneath. It's
reverse,
not damaged.
Reverse thrust.
Hopefully this guy's like a motorcycle where if he falls over, he's all like a turtle. You know, he's like, I'm too like, big and my gun's on my back and I can't get up.
Right.
You're walking through the desert. You see a stormtrooper lying on his back, belly baking in the hot sun. All right. Cool. Yeah. You're going to try to use the Hoth maneuver on him.
Yep.
Okay. So, you want to make a lariat out of the thing and throw it on him, or do you want to run over there and like scoop it around?
No, I don't want to get that close to him. I'm going to try and throw it.
Okay.
Like, what is your lasso skill?
That's an amusing plan.
Do I have a cowboy skill check?
Yeah, right? Like throwing things, like grenades are light. You use the same as you would use for your blaster, like a light weapon, I guess, okay. Attack. Definitely no lassoing skill, so we'll just go with that.
Okay.
Okay, so the difficulty, you're at short range. He is engaged. God, I hope you hit Zed with this. Not that it would matter because it's a two-step plan. You could always get Zed to pull it off. But okay, so the difficulty is one because you're at short range, but it's upgraded twice. Once because he's him, and once because he's engaged with Zed.
Okay, so three.
And his armor doesn't help him in this case because he's just a big target. So I won't apply the defense die. Okay. Cool. Okay, so yeah, one purple with two upgrades on the dark side.
Oh.
And then make your roll using your light weapons. Yeah, ranged light. Cowboy Kess. Okay. All right. Your first attempt, you like whip it around, throw it at him. It doesn't, you don't get it around him, but you definitely like distract him. Like the hook bounces off his helmet and he kind of turns his head like, what is going on? And sees you like, reeling the rope back in maybe, or the cable. So you can still make a maneuver. And if you want to move, you can do that. I guess the other thing too is had you thought of it before you made the roll, you could have aimed the lariat, right? You could have like taken a second to like,
I always forget about that. Cause
you have that aiming
yeah,
ability.
I always forget that I have that. Okay.
Well, you have two advantage. So you can choose to either give one blue die to anybody or one blue die to the next person and recover a strain. You got a couple of options.
You could pass
that. Attempting to lasso an officer.
So actually, you know, I don't, he'd have to take a minute. He's processing. He's going through the legal code trying to figure out what exactly that was.
Illegal lassoing. Yeah. But just to be clear here. So
Anne is a rodeo permit, Kess?
Anne is still in the truck. She is 10.
No.
She's in the front of it.
Yeah, she'd have to be, Kess is standing in front of the truck.
Okay.
With this like cable in hand.
But when Kess missed and it hit his head and bounced off, that means that the hook is like right next to this guy, right?
Yeah, like the lariat, I guess, like landed, the hook bounced off. It's still clipped in. So there's a loop of cable and it's lying kind of next to him. Yeah.
Is this the kind of thing where one of us could just like run and pick it up and kind of run a wild long loop around him?
I mean, yes, but he gets to go next and then also. Yeah. Yeah. And Kess still has a maneuver or two, depending on what she wants to do. So we'll finish Kess's turn and then we'll take a break.
Okay,
so what do you what are doing?
So you said I have how many advantage? I have two.
Yeah, you have two advantage.
Okay. Can I not just try again?
No, because it's an action, not a maneuver.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Then I guess, let's see, hang on, let me look at my inventory.
You could jump in the vehicle. You can move to a different range space. You could use a maneuver to reel in the cable. Yeah, you could use a maneuver to aim, if you draw a weapon and point it at him, up to you.
I think, well, I'll leave the advantage for whoever goes next. We can do that. And then I'll just, I'm going to leave the hook there just in case we want to have, like try and have Zed maybe clip it onto an exposed any part of this.
He's definitely got like utility belt, backpack, cabling stuff. You could,
right, like we could kind of hook it onto him. And then can I just use my maneuver then just to use a stim pack?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And that heals how many wounds?
5 if it's the first stim pack you've taken in the fight.
Okay, cool. So I'll just do that.
Yeah. Okay, so one, you're using maneuver to do the stim pack. You're giving a blue die to the next person to go. Mm-hmm. Do you want to recover a strain with your other point?
Or 2 advantages to the next person, right?
Yeah, or throw another blue die at the next person.
Is Gunner going next? Is that the...
Well, the Stormtrooper is going next.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I only have 4 strains, so I'm okay with giving both to whoever
goes
next. All right. Yeah.
Cool. So whoever's next will get 2 boost dice, and we will find out what happens with Kestrel and the Stormtrooper Rodeo when we get back. Stick around. We got 3 more hours of balance power after this.